Okay, saints, we come to a very important message. This is very important. And you can see the title of it is The Growth of the Divine Seed of the Kingdom in the Human Heart for God's Building. Now, when we're talking about this, about the growth of the divine seed of the kingdom in the human heart for God's building, we're speaking about the Lord's recovery, the Lord's recovery. And I'm always so burdened that when we mention the word recovery, we know what we're talking about. Sometimes we use the word recovery, we're in the Lord's recovery, but we don't really know what the word recovery means. Well, recovery is a restoration or a return to a normal condition after a damage or a loss has been incurred. That's I-N-C-U-R-R-E-D. A restoration or return to a normal condition after a damage or a loss has been incurred. This definition is taken from the conclusion of the New Testament. It's a very good definition of the word recovery. Throughout the church, there's been much damage. There's been church history. There's been much damage. There's been much loss. So the Lord needs a restoration and a return to a normal condition after all the damage and loss has been incurred throughout the centuries of church history. So this is what we're talking about here when we talk about the growth of the divine seed of the kingdom in the human heart for God's building. And I would say it this way, and I'm quoting something here. This is really marvelous. The Lord's recovery is not a work, it's not a teaching, and it's not theology. The Lord's recovery is not work. The Lord's recovery is not a teaching. The Lord's recovery is not theology. Now listen to this. The Lord's recovery is a seed. The Lord's recovery is a seed. Amen. It is the living Christ as a seed. That's what the Lord's recovery is. The Lord's recovery is the living Christ as a seed. As a seed. The Lord's recovery is not a movement. You know, a movement, to have the Lord's move requires you to have personal contact with the Lord. Then His move comes out of that personal contact. But a movement is something where you don't need personal contact with the Lord. You're just going along with the crowd. But to have the Lord's move, all of us need to have personal, intimate contact with the Lord. Then His move comes out of that contact. But the Lord's recovery is not a movement. Listen to this. It is Christ Himself as the seed of life sown into our being. So the Lord's recovery is Christ Himself as the seed of life sown into our being. The sower is Christ, and the seed is also Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. The sower is Christ, and the seed is also Christ. So the Lord's recovery is Christ Himself as the seed of life sown into our being. And you remember in the last session, we said a kingdom is the totality of a certain life. The plant life is the plant kingdom. The animal life is the animal kingdom, and the divine life is God's kingdom, is the divine kingdom, and the divine life is Christ Himself. So Christ in us is the kingdom of God. He is the reality of the kingdom of God. Now we want to talk about the growth of the divine seed of the kingdom in the human heart for God's building. I really like the hymn that we sang, "Oh, let Him grow. Oh, let Him grow." We need to pray that prayer that the Lord would have a free way to grow in us. Now, Roman number 1 says, I'll make this statement. Saints, our time is very limited in the morning. We will have time for testimonies tonight, especially on the Lord's Day. We will have one session, then the second session will be totally devoted to testimonies. So the second session will be totally devoted to testimonies. You can share on anything in the conference. So I just want to let you know that, especially to be prepared for the Lord's Day, because the whole session will be all of us sharing the last session. Okay, so the divine life is the divine kingdom. It's the kingdom of God, and the divine life is Christ Himself, because He said in John 14:6, He said, "I am the life." Right. I am the Zoe. Now, Roman numeral 1 says, growth equals building. Growth equals building. Of course, this is organic. We're talking about God's organic building. And, you know, just like I could take myself and as an example, I used to be this big. I don't know how big I was when I was a baby, but I was this big. But I grew. Obviously, I grew too big, right? I grew. A lot of saints had me over to eat. So anyway, I grew. I grew this way, I grew that way. Okay. But growth equals building. So the growth of the body of Christ, the growth of the body of Christ is the building up of the body of Christ. If you put all of our growth together, for instance, I grow in life, this brother grows in life, this sister grows in life. If you put all of our growth in life together, that is the growth of the body of Christ. And the growth of the body of Christ is the building up of the body of Christ. It's the building up of the church as the body of Christ. And the building up of the church as the body of Christ is the preparation of the bride of Christ. So we're being prepared to be Christ's bride by the growth of Christ as the divine seed within us. Now this sentence goes on after the semicolon. This takes place by the growth of the divine seed of life, the seed of the kingdom within us. And 1 John 3:9 says, everyone who has been begotten of God does not practice sin because his seed abides in him. You see, we fail and we have failures, but we don't habitually sin because God's seed abides in us. Isn't that wonderful? The seed of God abides in us. And it's just absolutely wonderful. And Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says that all the body causes the growth of the body under the building up of itself in love. So all the body, through the joints of the rich supply, through the operation of the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body under the building up of itself in love. And this prepositional phrase, in love, is repeated again and again in the book of Ephesians, in love, in love. So the way we grow in life is, you know, I would say it this way, is we have a romance with the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're in love with him. We grow in love. So we love the Lord Jesus. We love the brothers and sisters. We love one another. And we grow in that love, that divine love. We grow in that love. And that growth is the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, now under Roman numeral 1, A says, Ephesians 3, 17 reveals that the triune God has come into us to do a building work with himself as the element and also with something from us as the material. This is illustrated by the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. The Lord sows himself as the seed of life into men's hearts, the soil, that he might grow and live in them and be expressed from within them. So in Ephesians 3:17, we could start with verse 16, where Paul prays to the Father that according to the riches of the Father's glory, he would strengthen us with power through his Spirit into our inner man, that Christ might make his home in our hearts through faith. That Christ making his home in our hearts through faith is the triune God doing a building work within us, building himself into our human heart, through faith, Okay, now, in Matthew 13, there are four kinds of soil. And saints, we need to take care of the soil of our heart for the seed to grow in properly. What kind of soil is your heart determines the growth of the seed, how the seed of the kingdom will grow in you. So every day you need to take care of your soil of your heart. Every day you need heart exams every day. If you don't, your heart can become hardened. You could be soft one day, the next day your heart can be hardened. So we need to be before the Lord in the Lord's presence every day. Now one says the wayside, you know, it's something. When the Lord sowed the seed in Matthew 13, If I were the Lord, I would have taken the seed and said, oh, here's some good soil. I'm just going to put the seed right there. But he didn't do that. He just scattered the seed. Scattered the seed everywhere into different kinds of soil because he wanted to illustrate that the human heart is illustrated by four kinds of soil. Now, the first kind is number one, the wayside. The wayside. That's the soil on the side of the road. And the wayside signifies the heart that is hardened by worldly traffic and cannot open to understand, to comprehend the word of the kingdom. The birds signify the evil one, Satan, who comes and snatches away the word of the kingdom sown in the hardened heart, in the hardened heart. You know, in Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, it says the Holy Spirit through Paul was saying today, even as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen. Saints, praise the Lord for today.
Amen.
Today is a big word in the book of Hebrews. And saints, always remember, you know, this is a very simple statement, but the first group of saints that migrated to the former Soviet Union, Brother Lee said something to them, and this brother Dave Higgins, who's with the Lord now, he had this on his wall, a frameable quote, and it says this, you only have today, you don't have tomorrow. And that has touched me so much because the devil always tries to get us thinking about tomorrow, but we don't have tomorrow. Even this weekend, I don't know, some of you may have a test on Monday, you got lots of things to do after this weekend. Don't think about that. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't study, you should. But my point is you only have, all we have is right now. We have today, we don't have tomorrow. So we need to enjoy the Lord today. Enjoy the Lord today. So the wayside, the soil of the wayside has shallow ground in it, very shallow ground. And the seed can't penetrate it and can't take root in it. Now we come to two. Two is where we can fall into too. It says the rocky places that do not have much earth signify the heart that is shallow in receiving the word of the kingdom. You know, if you sow something into a rocky place, it might spring up right away. And you say, wow, look at the way that brother or sister is growing. Well, you don't realize there's rocky places in that person's heart. They sprung up quickly. But you have to wait for the long run to see how things will go. So it's shallow in receiving the word of the kingdom. Deep within such a heart are rocks. What are these rocks? Hidden sins. Saints, we should pray to the Lord, Lord, I don't want any hidden sins. The only thing I want is you as the hidden manna.
Amen.
That's what I want to be hidden in my life. You as the hidden manna. I want to enjoy you in a secret way every day. And we'll talk about this matter of having secret enjoyment of the Lord. Then we can have personal desires. Personal desires. That means we can have ambitions to be somebody in the recovery. I was driving down the road one time and I saw a sign on a denominational building. It says, come to a place where everybody is somebody. And I thought, we ought to put a sign on our place. Come to a place where everybody is nobody. And Christ is everybody.
Amen.
And Christ is everything, right? Well, I can get an amen when I say everybody's nobody. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Okay. Then there's then there's self-seeking. You can seek things. You can be in the church life, and hidden in your heart, you can seek things for yourself instead of seeking things for the body, for the Lord's interest, for the sake of the saints. You're seeking things for yourself, and so we need to dig this out of our being. Any kind of self-seeking, any kind of self-pity. How about self-pity? Don't raise your hand. Has anybody ever been guilty of self-pity? I have. It's like you say, oh man, I can't believe I have to do all these things, and the brothers are asking me to do this and that. And I've got to do this, and how am I going to do this? And well, as soon as you start complaining like that, a light needs to go on in your being. This is self-pity. I need to be saved from self-pity. Save me from self-pity, Lord. Okay, this hinders the seed from taking root in the depths of the earth. Hinders the seed from taking root in the depths of the earth. Saints, what this signifies is this, and this is very important. We need to allow the Lord to have a root system in our heart. We need to allow him to have a root system in our heart. That means this, saints. That means we have a secret history with the Lord. We have a secret history with him. We allow him to grow in us in a secret way, because the health of the plant is determined by its root system, right? If you come to my house and I have a nice plant, I'm not going to take it out and say, look at the roots, aren't they this beautiful? Well, I'd kill the plant, because the roots, the whole plant depends on the root system. And the root system is our secret history with the Lord. Amen. So again, this is why we need to have a secret time with the Lord every day. Have a secret time with the Lord. Don't tell people how much time you spend with the Lord. You know, have a secret time with him. Tell the Lord, Lord, I'd like to increase my time with you.
Amen.
Tell the Lord that. He'll give you more time. He'll give you more time. Don't make excuses. Don't say, oh, I'm so busy, I can't spend personal time with the Lord. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Amen.
Where there's a will, there's a way. You know, I told this story that when I was in Taipei, I realized there were 8 brothers in a small room, staying in a small room. And I just didn't know, how are we going to take a shower? How are we going to get ready? You know, the training's real nice now, you know, the accommodations. But in those days, it was, oh my, it was like the Marines, you know. It just, I just didn't know. I remember one brother said to me, we were all thinking the same thing. You know, we're all older brothers, too. We're not spring chickens there, you know. And he said to me, brothers, how are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? And we were all thinking the same thing, you know what I mean? I said, brother, we're going to make it together. That's how we're going to do it. We're going to make it together. But anyway, I realized that if I'm going to preach the gospel here in Taipei, I must spend personal time with the Lord. I must spend that. It's a must. There's no options. So I would hurry every morning. The first morning, I hurried, got ready fast. I went to the roof of Hall 3, and there were people all over the roof. And I wanted to spend a secret time with the Lord. And there's people everywhere. And so I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? I want to spend secret time with you. And there's everybody all over the roof. So you know what I did? I got a chair. I pulled it up to the wall. And I went like this. Lord Jesus, I love you. This was my secret room right here like this. Lord, I love you. I opened my heart to you. And the Lord met me. My point is, the Lord will meet you in your circumstances no matter what they are. No matter what they are. Spend a secret time with the Lord every day. Have a secret history with him. That's your romance with him, you see. Anyway, it means a lot. Matthew 6:6 is a big verse in the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens. Matthew 6:6. The Lord says this. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. He says, when you pray, enter into your private room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall repay you. So you have the words private and secret there. Private and secret. We need a private time with the Lord. We need a secret time with the Lord. You see, even if we have to take a walk, like, I don't know, maybe during this time we have some time, we can take a walk and call on the Lord and pray and just by walking. George Mueller, who was a dear, dear brother many years ago in the 1800s, he had a large print Bible. And he used to take long walks and pray over his Bible with the Lord. You know, he'd spend time with the Lord that way. So we can walk, we can spend time with the Lord that way. But we can have a private room in many ways, quote, enter into your private room. You know, John Wesley, he's again in the 1800s. John Wesley was in the 1800s, right? 1700s, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's why I did a double take. Okay, John Wesley was in the 1700s. And if you go to his house in England, he built his own house. And he built a prayer room in his house. I really like that. Listen, if you keep this in mind, if you build your own house eventually, build a prayer room in there. Build a room to pray in there. And your kids will know, when mommy's in there, don't bother her. Don't bother her. She's praying. She's praying for us, you know. Anyway, but again, Matthew 6:6, I hope this verse will be in our being. But you, when you pray, enter into your private room and shut your door. Shut your door. Shut the door of your being and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall repay you. You know, in Song of Songs 4:12 says that the seeker, after a while, she's enjoying the Lord. She becomes the Lord's garden for his private enjoyment. For his private enjoyment. See, eventually, as we grow in the Lord, we become an enclosed garden for the Lord's private enjoyment, for his private enjoyment. And that's Song of Songs 4:12. In verse 16 of Song of Songs, it's talking about the seeker as a garden. And it says this. It says, the verse says this, "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind, and blow upon your garden, and let its spices flow forth." In other words, the seeker wanted the Lord to send different kind of environments, the north wind and the south wind, so that the spices of Christ in her being would flow forth as a fragrance for all to smell, for all to sense, you know, a fragrance, a divine fragrance. You know, we like to pray this. It says the north wind is harsh. The north wind is cold. You know, like last night, forgive me, I'm from California. I was cold. I was cold when I was outside. I just had to put the collar up on my coat, and the wind was blowing, and Ricky's out there in his suit, just, you know, big deal, you know. Believe it or not, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I used to be like that. But when you move to California and you stay there for a long time, your blood thins out fast. Your blood thins out fast. So the north wind is a hard environment, a harsh environment, a bitter environment, hard circumstances. South wind is gentle, a gentle breeze, warm breeze. So when we pray, we don't say, "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind." We say, "Awake, O south wind, and come, O south wind." We like it just the positive environment. But the Lord needs both environments with us. He needs the north wind, and he needs the south wind, too. That way we learn to live in any kind of environment for his purpose and for his pleasure. Okay, maybe I'll just say that much. Saints, pray to the Lord that in your heart there would be a root system with him. There would be a secret, hidden root system with the Lord, that he would grow in your heart in a secret, hidden way and push out all of these, you know, expel all of these hidden sins, personal desires, self-seeking, and self-pity. Then we'll see our hearts will be the good earth eventually. Now look at A. A says the sun with its scorching heat signifies affliction or persecution. The scorching heat of the sun causes the seed that is not rooted to wither. So, saints, all of us go through scorching heat. We have affliction, we have persecution, we have trials, we have troubles, we have tribulations. We go through things. Everyone, every human being passes through things, passes through heat and pressure. But if the seed is not rooted in our heart, then that seed will wither. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen. See, look at B. The heat of the sun is for the growth and ripening of the crop. You see, if you're contacting the Lord, if you're loving the Lord, if you're enjoying the Lord, if you've got a secret history with the Lord, the heat of the sun, the affliction, the persecution, the trials, the tribulations, that heat will cause that seed within you to grow and ripen. And that takes place once the seed has been deeply rooted. But it says this, but because of the seed's lack of root, the sun's heat, which should cause growth and ripening, becomes a death blow to the seed. So you can have two options, grow or death blow. Grow or death blow. So we don't want it to be a death blow, right? Our heat, the heat and pressure we go through, we want it to cause the seed within us to grow. Now, the seed within us will grow if we allow it to take root in our being and we deal with the rocks in our heart. Now, 3 says, the thorns signify the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, we can say that anxiety is the gear that makes the whole world turn. The whole world turns on anxiety. I've never visited Wall Street, but I've seen pictures of people I don't know what that place is where they're selling stocks and everybody's going crazy What are they holding up, Mom, when they do that?
Options.
Oh, options. Stock options. Everybody goes, yeah, me. And then someone else goes, no, me. Me. Their heart's probably going like this, you know? I want one. No, I want that option. I want that option. What is that? That's the anxiety of the age. That's the anxiety of the age. Listen, we're not here doing this. We're here, Lord, I want to have a secret time with you, Lord. Right? I want to spend more secret time with you. So the thorns signify the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches. Riches are deceitful. They're deceitful. Which utterly choke the word, preventing it from growing in the heart and causing it to become unfruitful. You know, in Luke 12, the Lord tells a story. He says, watch and guard yourself from all covetousness, for no one's life is in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable. He said, the land of a certain man brought forth abundantly. And this man reasoned in himself, what shall I do? For I have no place where I may gather my crops. And he didn't say, oh, I'm going to give all the rest of my crop to LME, Lord's Move to Europe. He didn't say that. He said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And I will gather there all my wheat and my goods. And I will say to my soul, he didn't say to the soul, soul, deny yourself. He didn't say that. He says, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. It said, but God said to him, foolish one, this night they are requiring your soul from you. And the things which you have prepared, whose will they be? Then it says this, so is he who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And saints, what a great thing it is to be rich toward God. We need to pray, Lord, make me a person who is rich toward God. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, he said, we're poor, but we make many people rich. We're poor in material things, but we make many people rich with the riches of Christ. That's how Paul was, that's how we should be. Now 4 says, the good earth. This is what we want our heart to be. We should pray daily, Lord, make my heart the good earth, Lord. This signifies the good heart that is not hardened by worldly traffic, that is without hidden sins, and that is without the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches. Such a heart gives every inch, I underlined every inch of its ground to receive the word that the word may grow, bear fruit, and produce even a hundredfold. Now, have you ever considered what the fruit is here? What is the fruit here? What is the fruit here? You know, I considered this for the first time when I composed these outlines. I said, my goodness, what is the fruit in Matthew 13 that you're bearing 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? Well, I wrote Brother Ron, and we fellowshipped about it, And we came up with this, and I believe this is right. You have to go to the scriptures to find out what the fruit is. Yeah. Firstly, it's the fruit of increase, not in this order, yeah. But firstly, it's the fruit of increase in John 15. Amen. If you take care of your heart and your heart becomes the good earth, you will bear fruit. You will bear people as fruit. They will become your fruit. You will do it spontaneously. No one has to tell you to preach the gospel. No one has to tell people about Jesus because you're in love with Jesus. When I first got saved, I remember I loved the Lord, and I didn't know I was supposed to preach the gospel, but I went to my colleague who was in the cubicle near me, and I said, "Bill, I met Jesus." He said, "You met who?" I said, "I met Jesus. He's a real person. He's a living person." He said, "Ed, what has happened to you?" Well, he was the first person that the Lord used me to get saved. He got saved eventually. But when he heard me, he thought I was crazy, you know. But anyway, the fruit there is the fruit of increase, the fruit of people as our increase. The fruit there is also the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, gentleness, meekness, kindness, self-control, all the divine attributes becoming our human virtues. That's the fruit that comes out of us when we give every inch of our heart for the seed of life to grow in. So you see these two kinds of fruit. One fruit is the divine attributes becoming our human virtues for Christ, for us to live Christ for his magnification. The other fruit is the fruit of increase, which is the fruit of people being added to the church. The word of God grew, that's the growth in life, and multiplied, that's the increase of people. The word of God grew and multiplied. So you have Galatians 5 and you have John 15. These are the two aspects of fruit in Matthew 13. I don't know how you feel. I feel that's marvelous. It's marvelous. It's right from the Bible. Okay, B says, the seed is sown into the soil to grow with the nutrients of the soil. As a result, this produce is a composition of elements from both the seed and the soil. Listen to C. We have within us certain nutrients created by God as a preparation for his coming into us to grow in us. God has created the human spirit with the human nutrients, along with the human heart as the soil for the divine seed. So we have our human spirit with the human nutrients, along with the human heart as the soil for the divine seed. And 1 Peter 3:4 says that our spirit is the hidden man of our heart. Our heart surrounds our spirit, and our spirit is the hidden man of our heart. Now look at D. The rate at which we grow depends not on the divine seed, but on how many nutrients we afford this seed. The more nutrients we supply, the faster the seed will grow and the more it will flourish. So we need to supply lots of nutrients for the seed of life to grow in us, to grow in us. You know, Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens." To be poor in spirit means that you're emptied. You're emptied out. You're unloaded to receive something new and fresh of the Lord every day. Every day you like to have a new revelation of the Lord. Every day you like to be in the newness of his presence. Every day you want his fresh thoughts, his fresh feelings. You're not old. You're not dead. You're not stale. You're not dying, right? But you're new. You're fresh. You're young. You're living. You're active. And you're vital. You see, that's how we should be. We should be poor in spirit. Saints, always guard against the attitude, "Oh, I know that. Oh, I've done that. Oh, I've seen that. Oh, the brothers, they talk about the same thing all the time. You know, I know what they're going to talk about." You know, the Chinese, they can take chicken and cook it 100 ways. You know, you have all kinds of dishes, right? Kung Pao chicken with broccoli. I don't know what else. Kevin, what's another dish with chicken?
General Tso's? Orange chicken?
Yeah, orange chicken. There you go. Orange chicken, yeah. I like all of those.
To me, it tastes the same, but it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, orange chicken. Anyway, and they do the same thing with beef, right?
Right.
So, there's hundreds of ways to quote, cook Christ in the church.
Amen.
You know, there's so many angles and that you receive new revelation and new light from. And we need to be like this. And so in Luke 1:53 says, the hungry he has filled with good things, the rich he has sent away empty. So if you're hungry for the Lord, he will fill you with good things. If you're rich, if you say, oh, I know that, I've been there, then he'll send you away empty. So we don't want to be the rich. We want to be the hungry. We want to be the hungry. Then Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That means our only aim and goal is Christ himself. So if we come to a meeting and our only aim is Christ, only goal is Christ, we will be rewarded with seeing God. Isn't it a miracle that we can see God? It's a great, great miracle. Now Luke 11:33-36 is a wonderful verse, wonderful verses. It says, if your eye is single, which means your heart is single, your whole body will be full of light, which means your whole being will be full of light. And it says, it will not have any dark part. I like that. If our heart is single, our whole being will be full of light, not having any dark part. We need to pray, Lord, I don't want there to be any dark part in my heart, Lord. Then it says, the whole will be full of light, as when the lamp with its rays illuminates you. It's very, very good. Now, I have Jude 19 here, and I could share a lot on this, but I won't. I'll just say the verse. The verse, Jude 19 says, these are those who make divisions soulish, having no spirit, having no spirit. In other words, saints, if we don't pay attention to our spirit, if we don't use our spirit, if we don't exercise our spirit, it's as if we have no spirit. And if you don't have an aspiration to exercise your spirit, sooner or later, you will cause problems in the church. Sooner or later, and we don't want this to happen. So we don't want to be those who make divisions. We don't want to be soulish. To be soulish means that you live in the mind all the time. You live in the mind and you ignore your spirit. It doesn't mean we don't use our mind, but we need our spirit to, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need our spirit to spread into our mind and renew our mind with the thoughts of God. But to have no spirit means that they ceased to possess their spirit in any worthy sense and that it had no real vitality of its own. So it's terrible to have no spirit, to have no spirit. We should be full of spirit, full of spirit. The church meetings and our daily life should be full of the exercise of the Spirit.
Amen.
Full of the exercise of the Spirit. This is why we call on the Lord. We call on the Lord to exercise our spirit in our daily life. When we say, Lord Jesus, or oh Lord, even you just say, oh Lord, that's exercising your spirit. You know, oh is a big word in the Bible. Oh. Oh is scriptural. You ever realize that? This one brother, he's an elder now in the churches. When he was new, he came to me, he said, Ed, the opposers are really bothering me. He said, one of them said to me, why do you say, oh, so much? Why do you say, oh, Lord Jesus? So I said, that's kind of stupid, isn't it? But anyway, I said to him, I said, okay, let's go to the concordance. And that's before we had, you know, computers and stuff. I said, let's go to the concordance and let's look up the word, oh. So the concordance, the strong concordance is about that thick. So I looked up the word O, just O.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of O's. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Listen, when you say O, if I say, tell me your name again, brother.
Tim.
If I say Tim. Tim. But listen to the difference. If I say, oh, Tim. What will you do? Oh, Tim. You know what Brother Lee had me do? He had me come up on the platform. You don't have to do that. You'd say, oh, Brother Ed, oh, Ed Marks. One time, this is just a little sidebar story, you know, one time I was laboring day and night on this publication that Brother Lee wanted out. Actually, Benjamin Chen and I were laboring on it together, and we would come up to the meeting right as the testing ended. And so I was sitting in the meeting listening to Brother Lee, and I zoned out. You know, I zoned out. My attention was absent. I was just there like this. And Brother Lee was sharing. All of a sudden, he started saying, Ed Marks. Oh, my heart was beating. I said, why is he doing this? Ed Marks. Then I realized, then he said, Ed, what's wrong with you? Then I realized that what he was doing was he was using me as a demonstration of calling on the name of the Lord. So I jumped up on the platform, and he walked around it. Ed Marks, and I followed him. I said, here I am, Brother Lee. And he says, Ed Marks, and finally I just hugged him like this. You know what I mean? But anyway, listen, when you call, you get the person of that name. Amen. And when you say, oh, that means you really want the person.
Amen.
If you say, oh, Brother Ed, it means you really want me, right? But that doesn't mean you have to say, oh, every time. You know, I'm just saying that, oh, is scriptural. Oh, is scriptural. We like to do everything in the Lord's recovery in a scriptural way, in a spiritual and scriptural way. Now, one says, if we remain in our soul and our natural man, there will not be any nutrients for the growth of the divine seed. But if we are strengthened with power into our inner man, and if we pay attention to our spirit and exercise our spirit, the nutrients will be supplied and Christ will make his home in our hearts. I think maybe I read that. I'm sorry. Okay, two says, if we are going to have the Lord as the seed of life grow within us to be our full enjoyment, we have to open to the Lord absolutely and cooperate with him to deal thoroughly with our heart. He says, on the one hand, God strengthens us with himself as the element, and on the other hand, we afford the nutrients. Through these two, God in Christ carries out his intrinsic building, the building of his home in our entire being. Okay, now we come to a definition of the heart, Roman numeral 2. The heart is the conglomerate of man's inward parts, man's chief representative, his acting agent. So if you look at all of these verses under here, it points out that the heart is composed of the mind, the will, the emotion, and the conscience. So the heart is composed of all the parts of the soul plus one part of the spirit, which is the conscience. So B says, our heart and its condition before God are organically, intrinsically, and inseparably related to the condition of our spirit, soul, and body. One says, the exercise of the spirit works only when our heart is active. If man's heart is indifferent, the spirit is imprisoned within and is unable to show forth its capability. Let's see, two says, the soul is the person himself, but the heart is the person in action. The heart is the acting agent, the acting commissioner of our entire being. Three says, the activities and movements of our physical body depend on our physical heart. In like manner, our daily living, the way we act and behave, depends upon what kind of psychological heart we have. C says, the heart is the entrance and exit of life, the switch of life. If the heart is not right, life in the spirit is hindered, and the law of life cannot work freely and without obstruction to reach every part of our being. Now listen to this. Though life has great power, this great power is controlled by our small heart. So in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. And Ezekiel 36:26-27, at our regeneration, the Lord gave us a new spirit to contact him. He gave us a new heart to love him. And we need to maintain the newness of our heart. Maintain the newness of our heart by always turning our heart to the Lord. It's not a small thing to turn your heart to the Lord. You know, we even have a children's song, Lord, today, keep my heart, keep it all the day, while I'm young, while I'm old, while I'm middle age. How's it go? I'm sorry. While I'm young, keep my heart. Softer, Lord, I pray. Yeah, softer, Lord, I pray. Lord, I would keep my heart in every way soft and open unto you. That's a good prayer to pray for all of us, for every age. Okay, Roman numeral 3. In order to live a holy life for the church life, the kingdom life, we need the Lord to establish our heart blameless in holiness. A says, God is the unchanging one. According to our natural birth, our heart is changeable, both in our relationship with others and with the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, you know, Demas was one of Paul's co-workers. But it says here, Demas has abandoned me, having loved this present age. And we had a turmoil in 1988, brothers and sisters, and I hope we would learn from this. You know, this turmoil was caused by three things: unforgiven offenses, unfulfilled ambition, and natural relationships. So we need to beware of these three things. Always forgive others. Don't let unforgiven offenses pile up. Don't have unfulfilled ambition. We should just aspire to be who we are in the body of Christ. If we're who we are in the body of Christ, we're happy, right? We're functioning where we should be. And we're being who we should be in Christ, in the body, in the body. And we shouldn't have natural relationships. Otherwise, what controls us is those natural relationships, not the vision of God's economy. You see, we don't take this way because of any person, and we don't leave this way because of any person. We are here being controlled by the vision of God's eternal economy. That's why we're here. That's why we've been kept here. We've been kept here. Now, I remember in 1987, 88, I remember Benson Phillips and I, we just happened to be with Brother Lee. I believe it was 88 when the training came to Irving. Am I right, Warren?
Yes, right, yes.
88, yeah.
Right,
yes. Well, it was 88, and Benson and I were meeting with Brother Lee before the meeting. And Brother Lee said to me, he goes, Ed, you don't know what's going on. I want to tell you what's going on right now. And so he mentioned certain brothers that were causing this turmoil. And I was in shock, because these brothers are brothers that we really respected and held in honor. You know what I mean? I was just shocked. And I still remember I was considering this. How could this happen? And then the Lord reminded me in Numbers 16, where there was a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. And it was 250 leaders. It says well-known men. Well-known men. That's 250. That's a lot. And they were well-known men among the congregation. And the three of them that the most well-known were Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So you had two, Moses and Aaron, plus all these leaders, plus thousands that followed them. But these two had God on their side. You see, that's what matters. Do you have God's presence? It's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of, do you have God's presence or not? And so Moses told Korah, he said something like this to Korah. He said, Korah, you have the Levitical service. He said, and you seek the priesthood also? In other words, he was saying to him, why aren't you satisfied with your function? Why do you seek Aaron's function? Why do you want to be like Aaron? Aaron has his function. You have your function. Your function is glorious. But you're ambitious. You've entered into the wrong realm, the realm of hierarchy and ambition, which there's no hierarchy and there's no place for ambition in the Lord's recovery and in the body of Christ. There's no place for that. There's no place for that. Well, eventually we know what happened to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. The ground swallowed them up. It was a terrible situation. And I was in one co-worker's meeting, and Bill, you were probably there in Pasadena.
Right.
Were you there too? Yeah. And Brother Lee was sharing, and there were two people in the back.
Right.
One was this very prominent brother.
Right.
and his helper, one of his helpers. And the helper stood up, and he was very disrespectful to Brother Lee, very disrespectful. And he said, "Brother Lee, you used to commend this brother so highly. Why don't you do this anymore?" And this and that. And Brother Lee just made a brief statement. He said, "People change." He said, "Look at Demas. Look at Demas. People change. Look at Demas." When he said that, they both got up and walked out of the meeting. And we never saw them after that. We never saw them after that. Listen, saints, we don't want to be like Demas. We should pray, "Lord, I don't want to be a changeable person. I want to be a person who is rooted. I want to be a person who has a secret history with you, has a root system with you." You see, B says, "There is no one who, according to his natural human life, is steadfast in his heart, because our heart changes so easily, it is not at all trustworthy." C says, "Our heart is blameable because it is changeable. An unchanging heart is a blameless heart." D says, "In God's salvation, the renewing of the heart is once for all. However, in our experience, our heart is renewed continually because it is changeable." E says, "Because our heart is changeable, it needs to be renewed continually by the sanctifying Spirit so that our heart can be established, built up in the state of being holy, the state of being separated unto God, occupied by God, possessed by God, and saturated with God." Amen. Now, Roman numeral 4, I really want you to get Roman numeral 4. Very, very simple statements here. Here, let me just give you a preview of Roman numeral 4. Saints, God wants our heart to be soft, loving, pure, and at peace. You just get these 4 points. Soft, loving, pure, and at peace. Soft, loving, pure, and at peace. And you can pray these points back to the Lord. You can pray these points your whole life. I really mean it. You can say, "Lord, keep my heart soft toward you. Lord, keep my heart loving you. Keep my heart pure toward you. And keep my heart at peace with you." Soft, pure, loving, at peace. If your heart is like this, then your heart is in a proper place. Your heart is in a proper place. A says, God wants our heart to be soft. When God deals with our heart, he takes away the heart of stone out of our flesh and gives us a heart of flesh, a soft heart. 2 says, to be soft means that our heart is submissive and yielding toward the Lord, not stiff-necked and rebellious. 3 says, a soft heart is a heart that is not hardened by worldly traffic. 4 says, God softens our heart by using his love to move us. Isn't that wonderful? He uses his love to move us. But if love cannot move us, he uses his hand through the environment to discipline us until our heart is softened. Now that's a mercy too. That's a great mercy too. He'll use the environment to discipline us until our heart is softened. Okay, B says, God wants our heart to be pure. 1 says, a pure heart is a heart that loves God and wants God. Besides God, it has no other love, inclination, or desire. 2 says, our heart should be single for God so that we are fearful of nothing except offending him and losing his presence. So saints, we should be fearful of nothing except offending God and losing God's presence. In Psalm 86:11, the psalmist prayed, "Make my heart single in fearing your name. Make my heart single in fearing your name." To fear the Lord's name doesn't mean that we're afraid of the Lord, but it means we have a reverential attitude toward him. It means we honor him. It means we respect him. It means we regard him. You see, that's what it means to fear the Lord. And in Isaiah 11:1-2, it says that we need to be filled with the spirit of the fear of Jehovah. The spirit within us is the spirit of the fear of Jehovah. It's the spirit that has a reverential attitude, honor, and respect toward the Lord. Now 3 says, our goal and aim should be God himself, and we should not have any other motive. 4 says, we must pursue Christ with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Saints, aren't you glad to be with those this weekend?
Amen.
With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now C says, God wants our heart to be loving, to be loving. 1 says, a loving heart is a heart in which the emotion loves God, wants God, thirsts after God, and yearns for God, having a personal, affectionate, private, and spiritual relationship with the Lord. 2 says, we must turn our heart back to the Lord again and again and have it continually renewed so that we may have a new and fresh love toward the Lord. Saints, turn your heart back to the Lord again and again. You find your heart turned away from the Lord, turn it back to the Lord. Turn it back again and again and have it continually renewed so that it may be new and fresh toward the Lord. Now 3 says, all spiritual experiences start with love in the heart. If we do not love the Lord, it is impossible to receive any kind of spiritual experience. Our love for the Lord qualifies, perfects saints. You know, one time Brother Lee said this, he asked this question. He said, how's your romance with the Lord? How's your romance with the Lord going? Song of Songs is a romance. We should be romantic with the Lord. We should tell him we love him. He's our husband. He's our bridegroom. So we need to love him. You know, with my wife, when we have special occasions, sometimes I get her a bread maker or, I don't know, you know, vacuum cleaner, something practical, you know. But my mother said to me, she goes, Ed, what are you doing? Don't get that for your wife. Buy her some flowers. Buy her some flowers. So I realized my mother's right. My mother's right. So I got Ruth flowers, and she said, oh, Eddie, these are beautiful. She's the only one that can call me Eddie besides a few other people. Okay. But anyway, my point is that maintains your romance when you do something like that. You see, when you tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you, that keeps your romance with the Lord going. You see, don't let a day go by without saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. One of the first things in the morning we should say is, Lord Jesus, I still love you. I still love you. Maybe you're exhausted. You could say, Lord Jesus, you know I'm exhausted. But I know this, Lord. I still love you, Lord. I still love you. Okay. 3 says, okay, I read 3. 4 says, our love for the Lord, this is really good. Our love for the Lord qualifies, perfects, and equips us to speak for the Lord with his authority. If we love the Lord to the uttermost, we will be filled and overflowing with him. You know, Brother Lee told a story about how he got saved. He was 19 years old, and he went to hear a sister preach the gospel who was 25 years old. And this is in the early 1900s in mainland China. And she was speaking to over 1,000 people. And that had been unheard of. That was unheard of in mainland China. So he went out of curiosity. Well, he got saved dynamically. And on the way home, he consecrated his whole life to the Lord. He got saved and consecrated his whole life to the Lord. And he said, to this day, I've never heard a word spoken with that much power and authority. And he said, the reason why she had so much power, she eventually became a co-worker of Watchman Nee and Brother Lee's. But the reason why she had so much power and authority was because she loved the Lord to the uttermost. She loved the Lord to the uttermost. So it's our love for the Lord that qualifies, perfects, and equips us to speak for the Lord. Speak for the Lord with his authority. Okay, we have lots of verses here, but I'll go on. Okay, D says, God wants our heart to be at peace. 1 says, a heart at peace is a heart in which the conscience is without offense, condemnation, or reproach. In Hebrews 10:22, it says we need to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That means sprinkled with the precious blood of Christ. And our bodies washed with pure water. Our bodies signify our conduct. And the pure water signifies the pure water of the Lord's life, spirit, and word. So we need our conduct washed with the pure water of his life, his spirit, and his word. 2 says, if we confess our sins in the light of God's presence, we receive his forgiveness and his cleansing so that we may enjoy uninterrupted fellowship with God with a good conscience. 3 says, the result of practicing fellowship with God in prayer is that we enjoy the peace of God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? So practice having fellowship with God in prayer. Saints, this is very simple what I'm about to tell you, but learn how to talk to the Lord. Learn how to talk to him about everything. He's your best friend, so talk to him. If you lose your keys, don't panic that much. Talk to the Lord about it. Say, Lord, I lost my keys, you know, and talk to the Lord. You know, I'm not saying that you look to the Lord to find your keys so much, but my point is talk to the Lord about everything that's troubling you, about everything that's bothering you. You can talk to him about anything and everything. The more you talk to him, the more you will enjoy the peace of God. And this peace will mount guard over your hearts and your thoughts in Christ, keeping you calm and tranquil. 4 says we need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our hearts by forgiving one another to put on the one new man. This means you let the peace of Christ umpire in your hearts, or preside, or be enthroned as a ruler and decider of everything. So if you have a problem with another brother or sister, you need to let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your hearts, be the ruler and decider of everything. But you know, nowadays, they have instant replay in sports. They have instant replay where you replay the thing over and over again, you know, to see who offended who. Well, this is what we do sometimes. Somebody offends us and we go, okay, let me do instant replay. He goes, here's what he did. Look what he did. Look what he did to me. Let's play it again. You know. He said, forget about that instant replay, right? The Lord as the umpire, what he will say is, case is dismissed. The case is dismissed. Forgive this brother. Forgive this sister. Right? And go on with the Lord. Let the peace of Christ be enthroned into you as a ruler and decider of everything. Okay, Romans numeral 5 says, as our hearts are being established blameless in holiness by the continual renewing of the sanctifying spirit, we are becoming the new Jerusalem, which is the eternal kingdom, with the newness of the divine life, and we are becoming the holy city with the holiness of the divine nature. This is the growth of the divine seed of the kingdom in the human heart for God's building. Now don't forget, soft, pure, loving, and at peace. Pray over those 4 points. Your whole life, I mean it, your whole life, take those points with you and pray them back to the Lord. You know, off and on, you pray them back to the Lord. The Lord will keep your heart in a soft, pure, loving, and peaceful condition. And then the Lord will be able to grow in your heart for his building, for his building. Okay, Ricky, what should we do?
How about to respond now? Let's pray with 1 or 2 that are around us. Let's have a little prayer in 2s and 3s. And then looks like we have a few minutes that we can squeeze in for your responding to share. So we're going to set up microphones here on either side, and you can feel free to come up. But let's have some prayer first. Then if we have 6 or 7 minutes, and each one takes about 30 seconds, we can have maybe 12 or 14 even.